We turn into our Bibles to Genesis 11. At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, "Let's make bricks and harden them with fire." In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world." But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. "Look," he said, "the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other." In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world, and they stopped building the city. That is why the city was called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. In this way, he scattered them all over the world. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for this chance to hear your word, just to spend time with you, Lord, and just to pray together as a community, Lord. We just ask that the words that are spoken this morning come from you, Lord, and that we can just understand more of who you are. In your name we pray, amen. The Tower of Babel is a story I think most kids know, most adults who grew up in the church knew, and I think a lot of people have heard it before. But I'm just going to give you a little bit of background information on what was going on here. One is that God, actually, if we turn it to Genesis 9, after the flood, God commanded the people to go and fill the land. He said, "I bless you to multiply, be fruitful and multiply and fill the world." But what the people did instead was they decided they didn't want to separate. They didn't want to be on their own, and they didn't listen to God. And so instead they found this land and they decided, let's all just gather here. So God's plan was for them to spread out throughout the entire world, and their plan was to stay together. So first we need to understand that they were acting in disobedience before they started building the Tower of Babel. The disobedience took place as they became very fruitful. They multiplied, but they didn't fill the world. Second of all, if you go back a few generations, there was a ruler named Nimrod. And Nimrod was, the word Nimrod actually means to rebel. And so Nimrod was a dictator. He ruled with fear. He ruled by punishment. He didn't rule out of love. And so the people were straying away from God already. The people had, these are Noah's kids, Noah's generation, Noah the man who listened to God, spent time with God, and here his descendants already have turned their back on God. And so these are kind of things you have to think about when you look at this story and understand that the Tower of Babel was disobedience and God going, people together are way too strong. They don't listen. They are going to be able to accomplish so much evil because I'm not in them and I'm not with them and they're clearly not listening to me. So God came up with a plan, and that plan was confuse the language. I taught on this Sunday in Noah's Ark. And so I had the kids build towers out of marshmallows. So they had toothpicks, marshmallows, and straws. And so I gave them 5 minutes where they were in their two groups. They had to come up with a name for their team. One was like one white tiger or something, and one was Team Awesome. And then they had to start building. And you could see the group that was talking with each other was very successful. And the group that had one kid sitting by himself, that group just could not, even when they were talking, they couldn't build very well. And then after 5 minutes, I said, okay, stop. You're no longer allowed to talk with each other. You have to be completely silent. And the kids were in a little bit of shock, a little bit of fear. And the towers actually couldn't continue going up. Like it just, they kept trying, but they just, you could see they were getting frustrated. I caught one girl mouthing the words to her sister, trying to get her to understand what she wanted. The group that wasn't communicating well to begin with was even a bigger disaster. And so, but the point is, when you looked at the two groups, the group that was communicating and communicating really well, they were able to build really quickly in 5 minutes. And that group that already was separate, already not holding together, they were struggling even before they weren't allowed to communicate with each other. And I think in our lives, a lot of times, we like to build our own towers. We like to build towers that about us. God isn't the center, right? Like even in ministry, sometimes it's like, well, like with Noah's Ark, I know how to get kids to listen most of the time. There's a few that maybe not always. I have talents. I have the ability. I can teach really well to kids. I've been very good at that my entire life. So sometimes it's very easy not to have God. And it's you're building your own tower. I'm building my own tower, per se. And that tower isn't God at the center or God at the foundation. That tower is me, myself, and I. And I think when we look at the Tower of Babel, we oftentimes just look at it and criticize, and we like, oh, they just weren't listening to God. But how often in our lives do we do the same thing? Even in the church, how often do we run ministries without asking God first? What is it you want with this ministry? Or take a job and not ask God, what do you want? Do you want me to take this job? Or is it just a job? I mean, there's so many examples that we could go into on that. And I think when I was researching the Tower of Babel, it talked a lot about being self-centered and a few signs, or self-glory, I should say. And a few things that one, I don't even know who this guy is, but he was saying that there are five indicators that you are glorifying yourself instead of God. And doesn't mean you're doing all five. And it doesn't mean if you're slightly doing this that you're also self-glorifying. But I think in many cases we all do glorify ourselves. One, he said, was to parade in public what should be kept in private. Parade in public what should be kept in private. Things that are going on in your life, or maybe what's going on in your family, that you just put, like good things maybe, but maybe it's not the time for you to share it. But because you want the glory, you want people to see, or you need to identify, or have people to identify you as Mary, as P. Mary, or whatever, you start to say things, you start to do things, and when you actually keep it in your heart, when you check it, God never asked you to share it yet. The second way is be way too self-referencing. I believe this. I think this. I do this. When I did this in the past, and instead of looking at what are other people doing? What is God doing? How does that all fill in? The third one, and I think this is maybe a lot of Americans, and I can say that because I'm American, talk when you should be quiet. So there's a lot of times in our lives where we think we should just talk, but God is calling us to listen. God is calling us to be listen, to listen. The fourth one he says, be quiet when you should speak. So it's kind of the other flip side. If God has given you, it's kind of like what P. Ricky was saying on Sunday, God sometimes gives him things to prophesy or to speak out in tongues. And I kind of can go with that one. And if he didn't say, if he didn't do it, he's actually glorifying himself. Like, ugh, I know better than God. Right? And I can actually trace back, because if you were at the retreat this year, you saw that when P. Ricky went up to speak in tongues, I got up and interpreted. And if Ricky likes to tell the story of what I look like as I did that, I was not very happy. But actually, you have to trace it back. So 3 years before that, as I retreat, and I'd heard the church talking about speaking in tongues and interpretation. And so this was when P. Brian was our guest speaker. And I just asked God a very simple question. Well, how come we don't do it at SP? Why has it never happened at SP? And I like to tell people 30 minutes later, but actually I don't remember anymore if it was actually 30 minutes. I remember telling people it was 30 minutes. I don't actually remember, but it was definitely that same day Ricky got up and he spoke to the congregation in tongues. And I went, oh, okay, that's cool. And then Larry got up and translated. That's fantastic. The following year, Ricky got up and did it again, but that time I heard. But I didn't know, and then Larry got up and translated, and I stood there, and actually, there were so many people in front of me, I like to make it as a good excuse. I couldn't get to the front before Larry did. And then actually, realistically, I didn't know if it was biblical to have two interpretations. And so I decided not to go up front. And I talked to P. Sam later, and he said, it's an interpretation, it's not a translation. So there can actually be two or more. And I was comforted when P. Benjamin started speaking. His sermon that day was exactly what I heard God say. So it was confirmation. So feeling good about myself, not going up front. And then this year. And I'm standing on the stage after family worship, and P. Hyun-soo said, hey, we're going to do one adult song with no motions, and then we're going to finish with the children's song, so don't leave the stage. So I'm like, okay, standing on the side, we're about to start the adult song. I see Ricky grab the mic, and I went, oh, no. But then I saw him not go up. So I'm like, okay, maybe he just saw the kids trying to grab the mic. I'm good. I'm safe. Then he walks on the stage, and my heart's going, ugh. And then God's like, but would you do it if I asked you to do it? I was like, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And as soon as Ricky passed me, I said, okay, God, if he does it, I'll go and translate. If you give me the download. But then Ricky just started talking normal at first. So I was like, okay, I'm clear. And then Ricky spoke. And I heard, and so I went. And I had to go immediately, otherwise I would not have done it. And I tell you that story because if I had been disobedient in that time, I would have been telling God, I know better than you. I hate talking in public. I know most people don't believe that because I was a teacher for 8 years, but most teachers actually don't like talking in public. But I hate it. But if I had, in that moment, not given the interpretation, I would have been disobedient and telling God, I know better than he does. And that goes to point five, which is care too much what people think about you. And I tell that story because if you turn to Acts 2, we have a moment in time when God flips Babel. God turns Babel upside down on its head. And many of you know Acts 2 is Pentecost. The Holy Spirit descends, and the confusion of language that was started in Babel changes. And give me a second to find it. I'm just going to read from verse 1 through 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to. And we know later, when they're doing this, people understood in their own language, but it was a different language. God has a plan to bring redemption. And God has a plan to bring people to him. And the original God had told Abraham, it's through your people that I'm going to bless. And we know that comes through Jesus. And the Tower of Babel made it a little bit more difficult because everyone in the world speaks a different language. But God made a plan that everyone would be able to understand. When I interpreted, that was an Acts 2 moment where God was revealing something to everybody. Now, everyone in the room pretty much spoke English. But God is starting to reveal to us in our own languages who he is. I did some research on this for Sunday, and it said, I went to Wycliffe. Wycliffe is a Bible translating organization. My brother and his wife are actually part of their organization on the mission field. But right now they say complete Bibles in the world, there's 531. Languages above that with just the New Testament are 1,329. Bibles with one book or more are 1,023, and Bibles with just a little bit is 2,883. And that's out of 7,000 languages. God is starting to speak to the world through their own language. God's new plan isn't to come to them in one language, but he's going to meet them in their own. And I think it's really important for us to understand people learning about God, and God's going to do it in his own ways, whether it's prophesying, speaking in tongues, like the Bible. And when God separated the world at the Tower of Babel, he had a plan to bring everyone back under him. And that is through the church. And that is through his word being translated into many different languages. And that is through our obedience and just listening to him and following him. So right now, if you guys could just think about and go into a time of prayer and asking God, what is it he's asking you to do? Are there areas of your life, towers in your own life, that you're building that are not pointing to God, that God isn't the center? Are there areas in your life that God is calling you to step out and be obedient and stop worrying so much about what other people think? So let's just spend some time in prayer, and Janella will lead us in a song of worship.
Say that I'm thankful, pour out my
as God decided to change the languages, he said it was because he knew we were stronger together, but they had forgotten God. So as we go into this time of prayer, let's remember we are stronger together, but we are unified through Jesus. And so as we pray as a community, God, these prayers do not fall on deaf ears. God hears our prayers. God answers our prayers. So let's lift up each of our prayers today, knowing that we have a God who hears us, who loves us, and will answer when we call upon him. So let's first pray for our community who are suffering from cancer, are going through chemo and radiation therapy, and who are recovering from surgery. Spend some time lifting them up. Let's lift up those in our community, the friends and family of those in our community who are suffering with illnesses, but more importantly need to be saved. They need salvation. Let's just pray that the Holy Spirit will just enter into their hearts, and that as they come to know God, their body will be healed. Pray for those who are suffering from other infirmities. Lift up those in our community who are looking for jobs. Let's just pray that they will, God will open the right job for them. Doors will be opened. But as they enter into those jobs, that they will remember to keep God as the center, and that God is the one that will be giving them these jobs. Turn to our Thursday focuses. Let's look at our mission focus today. Let's pray for Cambodia, Grace and Bloom, and Japan and Peace Sophia. Let's pray that God will just use these organizations that they're serving in, just to bring healing and peace and hope, and that people will come to know God. Pray for our Healing Ministries, IP, The Well, Cascade. Let's pray for his anointing and his protection for those who are serving in the ministries, but also those who are coming to be served through these different ministries. Lift up Alpha. Let's pray for unity and protection for the core team members, timing and operations for the new season. I believe they will be starting next spring. I'm not 100% sure on that though. So if we can just pray for them, pray that the people who come to Alpha will just also just get to know God and will commit their lives to Him. Up our education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Pray for our Thursday outreaches. They just came back from retreat this weekend, and I heard it was amazing. Let's just pray that these teams, what they learned this weekend, will just really just won't just stay at the retreat, but they'll just take it and run with it and just be so united. I'll specifically lift up SP Lights and the Homie Outreach as well. Let's lift up our house churches tonight, Robin Hood, Elements, Austin West, and Olympic. Let's just pray that God will be with their leaders, bring in unity amongst their each member, Lord, and just ask that God will just speak truth into each of the lives of those who come. Let's lift up the men's retreat this weekend. Let's just pray that the men of this church will just come together, that they will just come to know God more. And let's also lift up the women's service on Sunday. Lauren is preaching, so let's just pray that God will speak through her. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for a chance to come together and just worship you and learn about you and just come together as a community and pray for our needs as corporately, Lord, and just time to pray individually as well, Lord. I just ask that you will just bless everyone in this room as they go throughout their day, Lord, and that they will build towers for you and not for themselves. So God, we just love you and we thank you. Amen. Have a great day.